Oh my goodness. Okay. Just hit record. We're live. I think this is episode 22 of Asthma Attack, and we have this is the first video podcast for me. So this is a new world, but I have a beautiful human being on here today, Dennis Reedy.
Well, hey, Drake, I appreciate those kind words of you, sir. I'm glad that we can finally get on today. I know it's been a couple of weeks since you reached out first to try to get on, but we were able to line up and then we were able to spend some time with each other in person in Arizona, but we were too busy on our grind that weekend to record a podcast. So I'm glad we can sit down today and knock this out.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming. Definitely have been super excited to get you on. I mean, obviously that's been the tough thing about, doing it is trying to give everyone like a spot on here, especially like all my friends, and not trying to make anybody feel bad. That's just a shitty thing is like trying to line it up, trying to fit into everyone's schedule. 'Cause I mean, I have the free time for sure, but it's just people with real jobs. It gets tough with, it. Especially like ask them to do this. A lot of people like aren't very comfortable with being, recorded for an hour. And then now with you hopping on being recorded a video of you for an hour as well. So, I mean, it's been super cool, and it's been a, I mean, you've known it. I've talked your ear off for years since we became close. But like, it's just been something that I've wanted to do for a long time now. And now it's having the free time and having like the technology to be able to do it. And it's been a fun learning process. Like, today, like all last night and all this morning, all I was doing was going through like our Warzone clips and trimming them up to eventually throw it on YouTube, just so like we can all watch like our games back. And so it's weird like all the times like I've prayed and sat down and been like, this is what I want to do, this is what I want to be doing. And to actually like last night, it kind of like hit me. I was like, holy shit, I'm finally going through like recordings of gameplay of video games to be able to post. And then I'm recording a podcast with one of my best friends tomorrow on video, finally. So it's been a surreal like time, like starting streaming and doing the podcast. But just recently in these last couple of weeks, since the episode with Nunez hit, man, it's been crazy. Like I just hit over 600 plays, which is crazy because up until a few weeks ago, I hadn't even hit 200. So it's like,
It's been really cool to see, like from our point of view too, is because we're happy that you're starting it and finally coming around on it and then being able to hop on and like Nunes especially being the guy to first like share on the socials and get it out there and then likewise with other friends. It's been cool to see it grow, and we're really happy for you and happy to be here to help you out.
no, I appreciate it, dude. If you wanna, I was talking to Dennis before we hopped on this, and we didn't really have a plan going into this episode. I think that's the best way to do it anyway. So if you just kind of do you want to actually start with, because what I really like to do is let, I try not to talk too much because I try to overcompensate to make whoever I have on feel more comfortable, if that makes sense. So I try to overcompensate by talking a bunch, but I'm trying to dial it back to let like the guests kind of lead, because like the episode is really about them. So if you want to talk about, obviously, like we were friends growing up and we were around each other all the time, but it really took over when you had hit me up about the Prairie View gig. And then like we just been have basically talked almost every day since that time, and then have became like inseparable ever since. So
Oh yeah. Well, it's kind of funny because like you said, we've always been friends growing up. Like I think we were on the same little league team for like a year thrown in there when I first moved to Byron. And we were always boys, but never got really close. And like we'd see each other, we'd dap each other up and away we went. Kind of we're in the same group. But it was, yeah, you're right. It was until after high school. I remember I got that job at the golf course, mowing greens. And I remember I texted you and I was like, hey man, like guess who just got a job at Prairie View? And you're like, who? And I was like, me. And you just like, oh, cool. Then like quit responding to me. And I'm like, all right, this is gonna be a great summer.
I don't even remember that though. That's the wildest part about it is I.
I told Joe about it. I'm like, dude, like he just kind of curved me on this text. And like I wasn't nervous to like go to work, but I was just like, dang, like I thought this would be like a good opportunity. And then like 2 weeks in, you're just like, dude, I'm having a blast. This is great. And I'm like, and that summer we just took off. I mean, that summer was a lot of fun. I mean, that crew that summer at work was incredible.
We couldn't have had like better personnel. Like, honestly, like it's almost surreal because I had gone from one. I feel so bad that I wasn't as excited. Cause I remember you texted me and I was like, dude, I haven't had, obviously I had worked the year before with Bree, which was cool, but like this, it wasn't at all like the dynamic of the seasonals wasn't what it was the year you came in. And so when you texted me, I was just like, holy shit, like they're hiring one of my best friends to work here. But I don't like, maybe we had just like kind of had like been distant like ever since high school for some reason, but you can look back, because I'll always go and I'll look at my like my Facebook like memories like from time to time, and we've been like posting on each other's like walls since like 2010. And so like even back then, like we were posting like funny shit on each other's Facebook walls, so like that long ago. But when you came out and then I saw who else like was being hired that summer, I was just like, dude, this is gonna be insanity. And it was.
Yeah. I mean, looking back on it, I mean, I don't even know how we did it. Like a day in the life there was, I mean, we were at work at 6 a.m. You put in your 8-9 hour day, and then it was like Trent and I, sometimes you would go play 18 holes, and then it was all right, where can we drink until 2 a.m. and then
for
go
real
back all over again.
For real. It was literally when we got off of work, it was like, where are we gonna end up drinking and who's bringing booze to wherever we're going?
Oh, that, I mean, that was so much fun. I mean, that squad we had, and then I mean carried over to the next year, and then get Mike Brown involved in that too. And then
that's
best friends. And
yeah, that was the biggest thing, was because I kept telling MB about the summer before, and I was like the electricity if he would have been there a year prior. But no, it was such a blast. It made it was I've had a lot of like cool jobs, but like that whole summer was real tough because of what we were doing every single day. I mean, that was the most I think I've ever drank in a summer. And so it was obviously tough getting up all the time, because we were usually out until like at least 2 a.m. every single day, almost, it felt like. But it was so easy to get to work because of who was there and how like the energy was at work. Like, that's such a big deal. Like,
oh yeah. I mean, it's always like cliche. They're like, oh, like you don't work a day in your life, you enjoy what you're doing. And it's like, we had just so much fun getting up, and me and you'd be like, yeah, we're gonna do this morning job together, and we'd sit there, be hungover, slam a Mountain Dew and a muffin, and away we went for the
dude,
day.
Yeah, stopping by Casey's, and usually like almost running late anyway, grabbing a giant coffee just so I can slam that and then fight back diarrhea before the turn on whatever first job that I have. Like, it's just insane. But it was, yeah, no, it was so good. And then obviously, like with everyone like growing up and then like being done with the golf course, it was just like that next year without everybody back, it was like, it was still fun and we had a good time, but it just definitely wasn't the same. Like it was like kind of like a last dance type of thing, but with one year. And mm-hmm. So it was tough. It was tough coming back that next year and like the crew just not having the same people and everything. But no, it's wild. What a time. I still remember when we were that Friday that we had to come back, and we were with Trent, me, you, and Trent.
I think you know what Friday you're talking about.
Yeah, the Friday that we had to come back, and we were fixing a broken
Nelson, yeah, and Dr. Pepper.
Yes, it was a broken tee joint on 8 green.
It was 8. Yeah, it was left to 8.
Yeah, left to 8 green. And so we got asked, me, you, and Trent to come back, and we definitely spiked some Dr. Peppers and threw them in the cooler for when we came back to work. And it was,
I mean, it was a Friday, and we got asked to stay late. And normally, like on Fridays, you leave at lunchtime. It's like run a Subway, and it's like straight to the backyard for
it
bags.
Because that was the coolest part about that job was Friday. I mean, already a good day at work on a Friday. I mean, you can never go wrong. But then from us getting off usually at lunchtime, it was okay. We're ahead of the curve. And so it's run straight into town. Well, usually what we would do on Fridays is we would have a putt off.
Oh my God.
We would have putt offs right after we got off of work. And it was usually me and you against Trenton, whoever. Reeve would meet us out there.
Yeah.
We would have a putt-off for whatever the bets were, and talk about electricity.
Oh, my gosh. We would do, like, 18 holes, like, loser had to buy the handle of whatever it was on the way to the house for the afternoon.
Yep.
And it was just absolutely get after it.
And, I mean, like, those putt-offs got so competitive to where it was like I hated Reverts and Trent. Like, I didn't want to
see them for, like, an hour. I was like, I need an hour to just – decompress here and I'll come back and I'll be fine afterwards.
But exactly. Just, and then it
some
was
of the
right,
words
was,
that guys said to each other during that hour long putt off.
Like, you would have thought that we would actually hate each other. I was, some of the shit we were saying to him, but it was so fun. So much on the line, dude, for that handle of Admiral Nelson. I mean, it was serious shit.
I mean, that's just that's one thing I've always just loved about our group is just that competitive nature. It's like everyone, when the lights come on for the game, it's like, I mean, everyone's locked in. It could be the dumbest game, like a putt-off, a game of ping pong, whatever it is. Like, we're just mad at the other person until the game's over.
We are a very competitive group, and I think that's what makes, I think it makes it easy being friends with all of us. Because you've seen it, dude. When we have four sets of bags boards out and have just round-robin tournaments, dude. You would think, like, we're almost at the point, like, where certain games get so heated, we're about to start throwing bows. And it's just like, and it's at that point, like, with the friend group where, like, everybody wants to win all the time, which is, you know, can be unhealthy, but, like, in a setting where you're in a backyard drinking, playing bags, like, it's usually, you usually make up and you're friends with each other by the time we go to the bar anyway. So,
yeah, I mean, as soon as the game's over, it's kind of like you get your 5 minutes out and then it's done. But I mean, Somebody's got to close Reverts' mouth sometimes in that backyard, you know?
That's true. It really is true, for real. And so it feels good being the one to do it sometimes because
– Absolutely.
When he doesn't have anything to say after you flame him, that's when you got to ride out that moment as much as you possibly can because it's rare that he's got to take a seat. But when he does, it feels real good that you're the reason that he has to. So.
Absolutely.
But yeah, dude, it's D1 golfer guy, huh? So big shot, dude, on the links.
We'll call it a fringe D1 golfer.
Fringe D1 golfer. I'll still take it though, dude. I never got any offers, so. But yeah, so you so Western Illinois, huh? So you started at Blackhawk, obviously, and then you ended up transferring to Western.
And then, yeah, like in high school, there was really not a whole lot of like recognition there. Like I had a really good senior year. I think I won like four or five tournaments and then was able to, I played well at the state tournament. I think it was like fifth, I got fourth or fifth, one of the two.
Still wild.
So like I played well, but then like, I mean, as time went on, it was like, we get into the winter, get into the spring. It's like, I still hadn't really gotten many offers. Like I think I had two to go play right out of high school, but I was like, I mean, none of those schools are appealing to me. Like I went on a visit, like one was like Illinois Springfield and it just, nothing felt right there. And I'm like, okay, let's go to Blackhawk with Joe was there at the time. We'd already had another Byron guy, Logan, go through and the coach was very open, got a good deal to go there. And I mean, I would recommend junior college athletics to anybody, especially if you don't know where you're going. I mean, it was a heck of an experience and you get a lot of guys that are kind of similar backgrounds where they've kind of just grinded through their junior careers, high school careers, and then they're all just kind of hungry when they get there to take the next step. And then like Gary at Blackhawk, the coach, I mean, he was incredible. I mean, that guy would run through a wall for you at all times. And we got so many perks there for being a community college. I mean, we had like an indoor little golf area that was nicer than the place at Western when I was there.
Which is so wild for me to think about.
It is wild. It is wild. We had, I mean, we got like more like, I think we got like five polos and like a couple pairs of shorts at Blackhawk. And then like at Western, you get like three polos and a pair of pants. Like, all right, that's your gear for the year.
Yeah.
And the football team is decked out in 18 different sweaters, t-shirts, athletic shorts, shoes.
You definitely see, and I'm sure like it was definitely like obvious from what you said at Western, but like the main programs definitely take priority from the school funding. Like it's wild how like you guys usually had like a solid golf team, and just because it's not football, it's, and this is me obviously being biased towards football anyway, because I chose football over golf, but it's wild that like the football players get, you know, three times the amount of gear that you guys do. And obviously like it goes different ways. You know what I mean? Like those guys are, you know, they gotta be like in a little bit better shape and get after it a little bit more. No, like, so the trade-off is understandable, but it is wild how just like how undercut some of these different programs do. Like it's I've been like, and we don't need to get into it at all, right? But like it's wild that like swimming is just getting cut from colleges like left and right, just because like it just doesn't have any buzz around it. And so like these kids that are like working their entire lives to, you know, get these scholarships and stuff, they just get swept out from under them. And I'm just like, dude. But I mean, they take out that swimming program, but then they build another facility for the football team, like that kind of stuff. Right. That kind of stuff, to where it's like, oh, okay, yeah. So I get where this is going.
Yeah, and I mean, it's all within good reason. I mean, and I didn't say that like thinking there should be some equal share there, because like the football team brings in money. No one's ever gone to watch our home golf tournament before,
which is wild.
People don't even know we have a golf team. Like I remember like the first like couple weeks I was there. Like I sat down next to someone and they're like, oh, like, what are you studying? What are you here for? And I was like, I mean, this is my major. I'm on the golf team. Like, we have a golf team. I was like, yeah, surprisingly we do.
We have a golf team.
I mean, that was super common anyway. Like even at Blackhawk, I got some of those same comments. And then like you'd meet random people that just weren't really aware of the athletics going on. And they like had no sense of awareness outside of a baseball or a football or basketball type sport. It's like, we got golf.
Like, yeah, because your baseball team was always pretty good too, right? Wasn't Jace from Bago? He went there, right? And he was on the team, a pitcher.
Yeah, he was there. I think he was there my junior year, I want to say. I think he's 2 years younger. Yeah, so junior and senior, he was there.
So how was
I never really got to make it to many games, because we always had practices during the game times, and then like on the weekends we were traveling. And just had other things going on with our team. But I mean, our baseball field and golf course kind of went back to back to each other. So we'd be sitting on the front nine, playing qualifying rounds, whatever. We could hear everyone getting announced for the PA systems. We can hear everything going on. It was always fun to keep track of, but I just wish in hindsight, I could have made it to more games.
I mean, it's understandable though. Like, especially at that moment, like junior, senior year, you're kind of more focused on having a good time at school and hanging out with your buddies for, as the clock's kind of winding down. I'm sure you kind of, you know, did what you wanted to do there, like being around them as much as possible and hanging out with them. But one thing I was going to, so talking about golf, I was going to ask you to tell the puddle story on six that we always talk about, which is so funny.
Puddle story. So we had a, for those of you that, no Prairie View. We're at Prairie View, hole number six. And earlier in that work day, Drake was kind of talking about some of the struggles he was having hitting the ball. And I was like, yeah, let's go out for play a couple holes. Like, I'll take a look at it, see what we can do. So he played a couple holes and we're hitting his irons. And he just starts flushing it left and right. Probably gains like 20 yards. And we get to number six fairway. I don't even know how far away we were out, but I'm like, all right, hit this club. And it was the best shot that you had so far that day. Directly over the flagstick, like, we were both getting ready to like think it was going to go in the hole. Air mills the green and lands in a puddle in this bunker. And for whatever reason, the splash of that puddle from 150 yards away made us giggle like we wouldn't believe. We were like rolling on the fairway laughing with our Bud Lights in our hands, just cackling.
I still remember like lining up and being like, God, like just put it somewhere close. Because with me, with irons, it's so annoying. Me and with golf in general, it's either I'm going to absolutely murder the fucking ball or I'm going to shank it. And so there's no like comfortable in between where it's like, yeah, that's an okay shot. And so when I dimed it, like right off the club face, it's just one of those where like you, obviously you're so used to that feeling, but like for me who doesn't hit it pure, like a golfer, like you does, as soon as you feel it, you're like, oh man. I was like, this gotta be good.
It's such a different feeling when it comes up to club face.
Yeah, 100%. And so like, I was just like, oh my God. I was like, this has gotta be good. And like, you're in the cart and you're going, oh yeah, oh yeah. And then we see, cause like obviously the bunkers at Prairie View are notorious for collecting water without draining it. And so we see it go over the green and it hits that putt and we see the splash come up. And I just remember like almost in like slow motion, like turning to you and you looking at me and us just like waiting for like a half a second and then just absolutely coming unglued.
Like howling in the middle of the
fairway. Yeah, I just remember throwing my head back and letting out a howl and and being like, oh my God, this is so good. And then had to go scoop my ball up out of a lake.
Sticking your rake into the puddle and try to pull
it
out.
Yeah, I mean, my God, because there's so much water in that back sand trap. So good Lord. But God, that story is so funny. And then what did I caddy for you for that one time?
Oh, that was in like the Illinois State M qualifier.
That's what it was.
Yeah, we were playing at Prairie View. I remember you like snapping a sweet pick on number 18
as
like on the fairway.
Yeah,
and it was something about like going to the 19th hole, like going to have a drink at the bar, because of course we didn't make the cut, so we had to go celebrate the missed cut in the Prairie View pub.
You coming back to the Prairie View pub, this is all coming full circle. Do you remember that same year that we had everybody out, like the good crew in the summer of 2017? It was around the 4th of July, and me, you, Bass, I don't know who else, we go to Prairie View and we're sitting there drinking, and all of a sudden Sean Pearson of all people is outside as we're like getting,
that was the 4th of July. We were watching fireworks.
Yes.
They had the drag strip there. So we would all go sit up on the hill and get beers inside, and we just walk out and make eye contact with him. And he just starts following us around.
like what was he doing there on the 4th of July? I just remember
his hero, what's up, Reedy? And I turn around and it's him. And I'm like, oh my God, Sean, how you doing?
I just remember standing there going, what the hell is going on? Of all people that we bump into on the 4th of July at Prairie, and I don't even know if he was golfing.
No, not a chance. I think he was just there. I think he was having a beer, just kind of watching the fireworks. But he was himself, and we just had to bump into him, and then kind of away we went. We probably talked to him for like 15, 20 minutes.
And then shortly after, I think we either found out or it had happened that he was on the Crime Stoppers list. And and so I was like, oh my God, who did we just bump into? Speaking of that, dude, is God, there. I've heard some really good stories about him in golf when you guys were in high school. I don't know if you remember any of them, but any good ones off the top of your head that you can remember? I know there's one where he broke a club over a tree. I think that's the one of the stories that I remember.
Yeah, well, because we were playing a foursome, which for those that golf, you know that's the maximum you can have in a group. And for those who don't, now you do. But so you had four people in the group and he wanted to play with us. And we're like, hey man, like you already got four. Like we were nice about it. And he was kind of like a quick trigger on that. And for whatever reason, it set him off. And he took coach's golf clubs that he was loaning from
Coach Cameron. Right. Coach Cameron's golf clubs.
Yeah.
Dude.
He just snapped
God.
The five iron around the tree. And we're just like,
oh,
my jaw hit the ground. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? And like, it just like set him off. But that was like one of multiple strikes. But I mean, yeah, that guy was
loose cannon, dude.
He was a loose cannon. Yeah. There was one day, and looking back on it, I feel bad just because, I mean, we were sometimes not nice, but there was a day where he hit into us multiple times. And I was like, dude, Sean, you got to stop hitting into this, man. You can hit it that far. It's kind of just an etiquette thing. You can't just keep doing that. We're 200 yards away. He just keeps hitting tee shots at us.
Yeah.
And it was it was rainy the day before. So I remember he hit into me. It was below the bottom of 15. I took my wedge and just made a crater with it. Stuck his ball underneath the ground and put the side back over it. And I stood there in 16 tee box and watched him look for it for 10 minutes. And we were just dying laughing. And so, but eventually we get inside and we're sitting down in the basement of the clubhouse. So he just walks in and he just slams a fist down. And he's like, "Reedy, what'd you do?"
He knew.
I was just like, I don't know what you're talking about, man.
He knew it was you. He knew it. That is such a funny prank. The divot and then burying the ball. There's just
There's no way you find that.
Oh my god. And then,
dude, have I ever told you the story of when I found one of my golf balls underground 3 years later?
Yes. I think I might have been with you.
Yeah, I think you and I were working on a sprinkle head just in front of 18 tee box, and I'm trying to side cut around. We made those little squares around the heads.
Yes.
And as we're doing it, I thought I hit a rock, and I'm like, what is this thing? So I kind of work around it, and I pull a golf ball, and I remember
it had your marking on it.
Yeah, because I remember sophomore year of high school, I used to always play Titleist NXT Tours, and I always put my initials above there. And so I pulled out this Titleist NXT Tour with a DR on it, and it was just –
surreal
on the ground. I'm
how what are the chances of that?
Yeah, well, the best part about it is that it was 50 yards away from the fairway, so it was just an awful shot.
Yeah, no way you were finding that.
I probably didn't even go look for it.
Probably not. Oh god, what was I gonna say now? Dude, there's nothing worse than having to dig up a sprinkler head or a T-joint at Prairie View, man. I mean, to dig those up, to deal with the water and to fix those, I mean, I just remember being so red in the face.
You and I were always putting all those jobs together, but the year before I came is kind of when you learned all the wiring and were able to do that on your own. So yeah. Once I started, it was always Dennis Drake, go fix a head on 16, and it would just be me digging the hole with you and then you doing the rest of the work while I sat there and just...
Yeah, which... it's super, super easy. The most basic electrical work ever, just literally snipping wires and then, you know, retwisting them and then putting on a twist cap and then making sure you put it in the gel thing that repels water, keeps all the water out of it kind of shit. But the year before when we lost, you know, Mike Johnson and then Welker, a lot of the other permanent seasonals, basically they're not going to, you know, go around and dig holes. They're going to of course it's going to be me, the young 20-year-old kid at the time. So it's I had no other choice, but for Matt to be yo, do you want to start learning how to do this shit? And I was I mean, yeah. And then I was making a serious push to be hired on full time there before I had ended up heading out to Wyoming. So it was,
I do remember that. Cause I remember you getting you kind of petitioned for yourself. You're like, dude, I'm doing all this extra stuff that an assistant would do. And you're like, I either need to get paid more or just be full time. And
yeah. And then he ended up, thank God, because rest in peace, Matt Henkel, the greatest boss we've ever had. I still can't believe he's gone, dude. It's so wild. But I remember actually sitting down and talking to him and being I don't need that much money, but I was I love working for you and I hope I can keep doing this. So let's see where this goes. But at the same time, I have to make a little bit more money. Mm-hmm. I can't be doing this for, you know, a dollar over minimum wage when I'm, you know, working my ass off up until we're going home and then even staying later. There were a ton of times where that year before you guys all came there where I was staying an hour and a half, 2 hours, after we were done, just to finish up a job and do whatever, just to make sure I could get whatever done in that time. So yeah. And when he, when he brought it up to like Sean and Todd and they like approved it, I was like, dude, hell yeah. But then obviously like with, thank God I didn't get hired full time or whatever, because they would have put me through like schooling and all that stuff too, which I was at the time I was like interested in, like I was for sure like that's what I was like, yeah, let's try to do this and see where this goes. But you know, thank God they didn't, because then Mike Brown would have never maybe gotten picked up there. So thank God it didn't work out. So then now, you know, the new gatekeeper of PV can keep doing his thing there and keep building out his reputation, which is super sick that like he's in the position that he is. Like I can't have like a better person that I could imagine like being in that spot after Matt, you know, being gone. So
yeah, he was a good replacement, and he's done a lot of good things there. And it's good that like him and Todd see eye to eye on a lot of things. So it's good to have that in there. There's no animosity between those two whatsoever. So it's a good environment for Mike to be in. And I mean, for that being your first full time gig, I mean, that guy's not going anywhere as long as he's wanted. So
no, 100%. I mean, awesome. Why, like, especially like with him like getting into that house now and like where it's a hop and a skip over to the. Literally a hop and a skip over to the, to like where you work. It's like, dude, you can't beat that. Like, especially for how, you know, how a head superintendent, how shitty their hours are like during peak season, man. I mean, like I remember, and I'm sure this is the way Mike is now, but I remember Matt, like going back out after we were gone, like when I would be, we'd be out golfing, getting hammered, he'd be out like fixing some random ass shit and it'd be like 6-7 o'clock at night. Like, but since he was able to live right there, you know, it's almost kind of hard to be like, ah, like I could go, you know, fix this up. And then it's not a 40-30 minute drive home anymore. It's, you know, it's park my Gator and then walk over to my house. So it's like, you can still be home, you know, like at a decent time to be able to hang out with your family, which is, you know, huge.
You know, we'd get off work, like go play 18 holes. As I'm walking off the 18th green, I'd see Matt like somewhere random watering a green or digging a hole. And I'm like, dude, go home.
Yeah. Like, like, dude, tomorrow, man.
Like, yeah. Like, well, I can do it for you tomorrow too.
Yeah. That, yeah.
That's you can do that. Like you go home, man. You've already worked 10 hours today.
Yeah. And, God, let's see how much you remember from this. Do you remember it was me, you, Reverts, I think Kayla, Tatum, and Bree, and we went to Chicago, we went to a White Sox game. It was a
White Sox game, yeah.
But we, of course, since we're pieces of shit, we wore Cubs stuff. Because we are ignorant, and because we are Northside fans, that is what we do when the Sox were really bad and have affordable tickets. And do you remember that we all got into that bar? Because I was the only one, I think, that was 21 out of that entire group. Maybe Tatum was. No, Tatum wasn't either, I don't think. And we all got into that bar, and everything was going real good until those guys started running their fucking mouths that ended up coming into that same bar and wouldn't leave us alone.
Yeah. Well, cause we're walking down the street after the game and just this drunk guy just says in my ear about like me being a Cubs fan. And I'm like, dude, like I don't want
him screaming argument.
Like I shouldn't have to do that. And I'm drunk myself. And the guys are starting to like piss me off. And we start like getting into like a yelling match with this guy. Then eventually like we go our separate ways, we get to this bar, we get a drink, and then who do you know, this guy walks in with his group of friends again out of random, and the first people they look at are us, and he just starts screaming, those kids are underage, and the bartender comes over right away and just was like, yep, you guys gotta go. So we all just like slammed our drinks and went
with our which drink. I can't believe like we got like shooed out of there instead of like getting like the fucking boot and the cops called, or because like just Chicago is just a different thing.
And yeah, I mean it was we were very fortunate that they were just like, okay, you guys gotta go, because I mean we clearly had to have looked drunk, sounded drunk, acted drunk, all the above. So it's like it was nice of them just to kind of just let us go rather than cause the scene any further. So,
and I remember leaving that bar and like a little bit vague because, you know, we had been drinking, but I wasn't like hammered by any means. Cause I think I was the one that ended up having to drive us home, which is great. But I remember like how just the shit that those guys were saying to us was so absurd. I remember we're walking down the street and they leave right as we get, you know, kind of shooed out of there. And they are still talking shit. Like, as we are walking down the street, they're walking opposite directions. And I remember, I finally hit a point where, like, I don't fight. I've never been in a fight before, but that was a time where I was close. I remember something just snapped at me after something else they said. And I turned and started like power walking their direction after finally going, what? And I remember you had, I think, started walking with me. And I remember Kayla grabbed me and was like, nope. And I just remember, if she would have done that, I would have probably gotten my shit kicked in, because it's just
I mean, I was beating nobody up. I couldn't beat anybody up. I mean, I'm the smallest guy in the world.
And you know, we were ready to roughhouse. And you know,
at that point in time, after how many beers, I thought I was like Hulk Hogan or something. And I was
real. Like, I had some real bizarre sense of like, yo, I'm a fighter now. And so I remember, like, just after, like, because I think Tatum was also like, hey, let's not do that. Let's actually just go home. You know what? That's a better idea. And I remember after they had, like, been like, do not do this, a Chicago cop drives down that street, like, right, like, pretty much right after they had, like, stopped us from going over to those guys. And, I mean, it was only two guys, so it's like nothing would have happened, but it just, you know, could you imagine, like, one, like, being drunk and underage and then getting in a fight in Chicago? Like, that Chicago cop is not going to give a shit about who you are.
No, it would have been such a bad look too. And I mean, we weren't going home that night if that.
Yeah. And then like, you know, was that a weeknight too? I can't remember.
I think we got the next day off of work for whatever reason. And I don't know.
We just shot up to the, yeah, I can't remember.
We had a day off of work, or maybe it was just the morning off of work the following day, but something allowed for us to get out of Dodge on a weeknight. Cause I mean, the tickets were like $5. That's the only reason.
You can't beat it.
No,
you can't beat it.
I mean, that was just so like out of character for us to, I mean, even intrigue those guys any further.
I know
they did. And it was like, I mean, even if we would have gotten a fight, like, that is just not us at all. Like,
no,
I couldn't even like imagine like laying a hand on somebody like that.
No. And so it's just like one of those super funny stories that is, but do you remember the 5th of July that same year that we had work after our 4th of July party?
Oh yes. Well, I think we got the morning off and had to come in at like maybe like 11.
I don't think not on the 5th.
On the 5th?
Not on the 5th of July. I remember. Oh. I remember each of us.
We had to not go to sleep then.
I remember each of us getting in there and like no one spoke, because it was when we were doing our project of edging every sand trap and then cleaning all those out.
Oh, you're right.
And it was like 95 degrees on the 5th. Everyone was criminally hungover,
and that entire work crew is like who we hung out with.
Yes,
plus others, but it was like, so we all kind of got there. I remember that now, because it was like, I mean, it was zombie hours for a while.
We all rolled in and no one spoke, no one said a word, and I remember like flashing to like the early afternoon, and we're all digging out and edging a sand trap, and it was the left one on 6. I remember it like it was yesterday. I remember just no noise. No one's playing music. No one's talking. And I'm just feeling so sorry for myself. Just like, I'm never drinking again.
We probably did that night.
And then shocker, yeah, we probably went right back to Reverts' after work and started drinking like crazy. So
dude, and that goes back to, I mean, Matt said it a lot, like that summer, I mean, for as much as we had fun and did all the, like, he knew everything that we did
100%,
and he's like, even on the job, he's like, you guys mess around all the time. He's like, in terms of like, you guys have been my best crew that I've had in terms of getting shit done, and you have a great time doing it. And he's like, I can't think of a better scenario.
Yeah. I mean, dude, it was
glad to see you guys having fun, and everything that I'm asking you to do is done, and it's done well. And that was the motto of that crew all year.
I mean, yeah, I think we definitely, it was definitely like a good, like best of both worlds kind of thing, because we did a lot of like overhaul on Prairie View that summer. There's a lot of like work to be done, but
lot of limestone.
The worst. Do not remind me. Oh my
God. We laid limestone around that entire golf course.
Oh God. Such an awful job. Such an awful job.
It was me, you, Trent, and Joe. And
Joe, that's right. That is right. I forgot about Joe. Oh my goodness.
Do you remember when we made Trent impersonate a rototiller?
Do I remember? Absolutely.
And we're holding him by his feet, and he's got those.
And he's got two garden shovels, and he's being held up by his feet and trying to rototill while you're holding him up. I had the videos on my old Snapchat before I had finally deleted it, but
I would love to get my hands in that video.
I can't remember if I had sent it to anybody, but I have so much like good stuff saved on my old Snapchat that like I just won't ever see again. So that's depressing. But at the same time, I was so at a point where I was like, I'm not gonna. I had gotten to a point where my Snapchat where like it was. I knew I was talking to people, and it was only because of the convenience of it being on Snapchat. And so like, it was starting to like fuck with my head to where I was like, okay, I was like, I gotta get rid of this. And then shocker, like the amount of people that like I stopped talking to once I got rid of it the first time was crazy. Like I never heard from some of those people like almost ever again. And then I could have just went and deleted people, because there were so many people from like college visits of seeing like you and like Carl and Lovelady and Drew at Illinois State, to where I had so many people on there that I had like one drunk conversation with. And so I was like, one, who are these people? And then I was like, two, I was like, I'm just watching their life and they're watching mine. I was like, it's kind of cool. But at the same time, like I needed a hard, hard reset. So it was, because I remember that same group, I didn't have Snap going into that year at Prairie View, and you guys all convinced me to get it back before I had gotten rid of it again. But
yeah, because we had to start a group chat.
Yeah, yeah.
We were like, dude,
the PV gang. So I remember I had got it back for that because of you guys. And then, yeah, just having it back recently again after not having it for like almost like 2 years, And I almost don't even want to add anybody else back to it now. I have like such few friends, and I'm like, you know what, this is ideal. I'd rather just keep it this way. So,
yeah, I mean, and you nailed it on the spot, though. Like, I mean, I got so many people in my Snapchat that I've met at other schools. I mean, even at my own school, that I see the things that I couldn't tell you who they are. Like I meet them at the forum at 1 a.m. and then we're always like, yeah, let's do something tomorrow. And then I wake up and I don't even
remember the conversation with them.
Yeah. And it's like, you see the person's like Snap story and you're just like, what?
Do you remember when I lost my wallet when I had visited you, I think the last time before you graduated?
I do.
So annoying. That
was a nightmare.
I also remember that me and Carl, when I had went with on their family vacation to Cancun, we had met a guy that went to Western. Luke Beeler is his name.
Oh, yeah.
We had met a guy that went to Western. I was like, yo, like one of my best friends goes to Western. What? I was like, let me come. I'll definitely come meet up with you and see you when. And like, I still have him on Instagram and stuff like that. And I remember when I had visited you, I tried to like link up with him every time I came to visit you, but it just never worked out. He was either like out with friends and going to a different bar or some shit like that. So it never worked out. But regardless, I remember we met up with, I don't know if his name is Kyler or if his name is Kyle, but it was this dude that I don't even know if you were super cool with that we bumped into, and we were hanging out with him. And after we had left whatever bar, there was a playground like on the way home, and me and Reverts sprinted over to it.
And I've been on that playground plenty of times.
And so, I mean, honestly, it's their fault for putting that there, because how are you not going to see a playground ever walk out of a bar and not sprint over to it and act a fool? So I remember who knows like how many times I was upside down in that fucking playground, but I remember going to leave the next morning with Reverts and just being like, I don't have my wallet anywhere. And so I was like, this is great. And at the time, I wasn't checking Facebook at all. So when I finally had checked I remember being back at PV and the horrifying like thing of being like, okay, gotta go get a new license, gotta cancel my debit card, try to order a new debit card, whatever else I had lost in there, you know, I think I had like $200 like in cash in that fucking wallet. And about, you know, just under a year later, I had checked, finally got on Facebook for the first time in forever. And I had two separate messages from people that had my wallet. I don't know if like they were dating at the time or what, but they had both sent me messages like, hey, we have your wallet. Like, let us know like where to send it. And I think I had like my address on my license. So I don't know why they wouldn't just sent it there, but you know, who knows if they would have thought that it was updated or not. But I remember I had seen it late and I had messaged, I think it was a girl that found it back. The other, I'm thinking of my debit card that a guy found, I think in Milwaukee, but, I had messaged the girl back after like months and months. And I was like, yo, I was like, holy shit, just seeing this, like, you still have it? And then she's like, no, she's like, I'm sorry. Like I graduated and moved out. So like, I think I just ended up like throwing it out because you had never responded to me. And I was just like, oh man. And so I was like, God damn it, dude.
I mean, credit for whoever found it holding on and doing that. Cause I mean, it's rare, especially like, I'm sure they probably found it like maybe that same night in the playground as well. Yeah. And they probably just saw it drunkenly and were like, holy shit, there's $200 in here. Like, this is mine. They might not ever say anything again.
Oh yeah.
Where like, I mean, they might have even taken the money and just given you the wallet.
100%.
At that point, you're just like, okay, whatever.
At that point, I would rather, because it's such a hassle to go get a new license and then to cancel and then order a new fucking debit card. Like that hassle is so annoying to where I would rather have lost that $200 and just gotten my wallet back with all my stuff in it. Like, just to not have to go through that trouble is so worth, you know, them taking that money, which they'd have been like, yeah, no, I found it with no money in it kind of thing. Like, which is, you know, which I wouldn't have believed them, but I would have been like, okay, like totally fine. Like,
at that point, what are you going to say? Like, you can't
I totally get it.
You got your wallet. Like you have to kind of move on at that point in time.
Yeah. Right? And so I had gotten, I was like at the point where I was going to like offer a reward to someone like that did find it. But at that point I had all my stuff back already. And I remember, speaking of lost things, I don't think that you and I were really close when this happened, but I remember, I think it was the summer before all you guys had worked out at the golf course, where we had a party at Roland's house. So I think regardless, you were going to show up there anyway. But we had like maybe less than 10 people that had gotten there, and it was early on the 4th of July. And so what we did was, while we waited, I had told my parents, more so my mom. I remember this was when my mom and I were beefing like real hard at the time. And I told her, I was like, yeah, I'll probably end up going over to Hamlin's house or something today. And then who knows what'll happen. Well, didn't do that at all. And next thing you know, there's like 10 of us in my backyard. And obviously Roland's is right next door. So you just open a gate and you're in his backyard. So that was the plan, to go over there. But while we were waiting for him, or I don't know what, we're playing a game of bags, and I see my parents' van round the corner at the top of the street to come down Kingsway Lane.
You could see perfectly through. There was like a little gap in the tree that you could see in the backyard and see the corner. And
yeah, you can look up basically to the stop sign of the turn onto Kingsway from Mill. And I remember seeing the van and just going, there's no, like, obviously you think of where like my neighborhood is. I was like, there is no other gold town and country that's going to come down the street for whatever reason. So I was like, that's got to be my mom and dad. And I just remember pointing and going, run. And everyone just grabbing whatever they could and sprinting into Roland's backyard. Well, they had gotten home, and I think that you can see through the tree line on Mill before you make that turn. So, and my mom was, you know, back in her crazy days anyway. So she was probably, I think they were at Hanlon's and I never showed up. So she was like, okay, what's this fucking scumbag doing when, you know, I'm having a low key party in the backyard before we move over to Roland's. And so naturally I was like, yeah, they'll be occupied all day. We'll be good. And I remember we had gotten everyone over there in time, which I thought, and she must have gotten out of that van as it was still coming down the road and sprinted through the house and came onto the porch in the backyard. And I remember hearing Drake. And I just remember like just pool of diarrhea just like forming in my stomach, but I had been drinking already that day. And so I was like, okay, I was like, here we go. And I remember going over to my parents' house and just and walking over and being like, well, they caught us. Like, I'm going to be screwed. And her trying to chew me out over whatever and me just not wanting to hear it. And I was just I remember being like, fuck you. Like, you're trying to ruin my 4th of July. Like, this is bullshit. Like, get fucked. Like, I'm going to have fun with my friends. I don't fucking care. Like, I remember just being like, and at the, like, now I'm like, oh my God, like the fact that that's what I was even saying. But at the time I was just like, yeah, no, not having it, like, kick fucking rocks. Like, sorry that you're having a miserable day. I'm not. And I just remember my dad being like, just leave, get out of here. Like, we'll figure this out later. And being like, okay, like, fuck, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. And Don was like, let's just talk about this tomorrow. Yeah, Don, you go back to what you're doing. Cause yeah, we're not getting anywhere right now.
He's like, no way. He's like, not a shot. And so I was like, okay, whatever, fine, fuck it, I don't care. Came back over, just slamming drinks. And this is old me. So, you know, 130 pounds soaking wet. So can't really hammer booze. Just got into an argument with my mom. And so I'm like, yo, I'm going to frat now. And so I just remember pounding booze and being blacked out before we even go to fireworks at the drag strip. And I think there's a picture of me hanging from the tree in my front yard
before. So I think this is, we talked with this the other day. This is where I think where you went to the drag strip and I left. Cause this is why I don't remember the story of you getting carried out.
Yeah. And I couldn't believe like you weren't there for whatever reason, but yeah, you must've left. And I don't know if you like had to go spend time with family or whatever, but so we get out to the drag strip and I am fucked up. I am fucked up out there. And we get to our spot down the drag strip where all of us are sitting and laying. I don't watch a second of fireworks. I lay down, immediately close my eyes, and I think I passed out. Next thing you know, everyone's getting up and leaving. I can barely walk. And so pretty soon after getting up and walking, I throw up somewhere. Don't remember where, throw up. Well, the floodgates open, and so I remember continuing to stop and throw up on the walk out until I'm so blacked out to where I can't walk on my own, which I think I've been that drunk before, maybe twice in my entire life. And so I remember I'm like this, and I have either Tanner and Carl or Love Lady and Carl, and I carry me with both arms. They flop me into a back seat, and as I'm walking by about four Ogle County sheriffs, and we're underage at this point. Like, I don't know who knows how old
20 at the most.
I think 20. And so as there's one last garbage can and everyone's trying to keep me away from these Ogle County sheriffs, four of them just standing there like right 15 feet off of this last garbage can before we walk out of the drag strip. And I remember being like, can't do it. And I walk over, throw up one last time right in front of them. And I remember going home, or I don't remember going home, but going home, stumbling inside the house and just being like, I got work tomorrow at 6 in the morning. Like, I don't know how I'm going to make it. And just, I remember telling my dad that day, being like, make sure you wake me up tomorrow. And obviously, like, you know what happened after that or whatever. And my mom had seen me fully naked that night, which is not cool. Don't remember that. And then which is not sick when you're 20 years old. And so I don't really remember that. And then the next day I wake up, and it's one of those where, like, I don't know how I got into my house. I don't know how I got downstairs into my bed, but I am butt ass naked. And my dad is knocking on my bedroom door. I swear to God, my whole ass was probably out. And just being like, oh my God, how did I get here? How did I get here? And he knocks on my door and he goes, hey, yesterday was kind of rough, but you know, we'll talk later and we'll get through it. You just wanted me to make sure you got up for work or whatever. And I was like, okay. Yeah, thanks. And I remember being so scared of coming home that I went to Elgin with Carl right after work at Prairie View that next day to go help him grab some more stuff, just so I didn't have to go home. And I got home.
Prolong the home visit.
Yes. And so I remember walking in the door at maybe 7 or 8 o'clock that night and being like, okay, like she'll have wound down. Like, we'll be good. She's standing in the door. She's standing in the kitchen like this with her arms crossed, furious, right when I walk in the door. And I just walk in and I'm like, oh, you're definitely still mad, aren't you? This is not good. And she just goes, yeah, no, if you actually gave a shit, you would have been right home after work. And I was like, yeah, well, I didn't want to get beat up. So it's understandable that I kind of
trying to live for like 5 hours.
I almost get one of the many times I almost got kicked out of the house was that next day. I remember I got threatened for whatever, to get kicked out, and she stopped doing my laundry for maybe 48 hours after I came home that day. And then she very quickly started doing it again because she hated my schedule of laundry, which was not wash something as soon as it's fucking dirty, just, you know, letting it accumulate a little bit to where you can throw an entire load together. So she just very quickly was like, this fucking scumbag, I'm just gonna keep doing his laundry again. So I was like, yeah, I mean, sure, fine, I'll take it, whatever.
I even remember when I was living at Roland's house for a short period of time, like their washing dryer was down, so I like walked over to your house. You'd already moved out at this point, and I was like, hey Pi, like I needed some laundry. I was like, do not fold it. Whatever you do not fold it. I'll come back in an hour. And
she folded it all.
I get back over there and it's all folded, like stacked nicely back in the hamper. And I just like, I'm like, why'd you do that? She's like, because I love you.
She's like, you unbelievable. Unfreaking real, dude. That
I had to go there for like 2 weeks because it was down over across the pond. So we had to figure something out.
That's so funny that you came over to my parents' house to do laundry. The thought of that is so, I remember them calling me. I think I was in Wyoming for the first time. And they were telling me like, yeah, your buddy Dennis is over here. He's having to do laundry because their laundry stuff's down. So I was like, have a blast because I'm sure you'd love seeing him since I don't come home anymore.
No, it was a lot of fun. Every time I came over there, I mean, they wanted to talk forever. Don's mowing his yard for the third time that day, so he wanted to talk for a little bit.
It's going
to
rain in 2 weeks. You're going to make sure I keep it trimmed up. Okay.
So. I never realized how serious you were about that guy's lawn addiction until I lived next to him for like a year.
Yeah, but all you do
that summer with him, it was like
all you do is hear the lawnmower.
It'd be 8 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday. I can hear the lawnmower. It'd be 1 o'clock. He's getting revved up again. It's
yeah, like dude,
it didn't grow. It didn't double just, and grow from the last 5 hours.
No, and he's such a psycho, and it will always be one of my funniest bits, like about my dad. It's like seeing him just. Catching him just on like random days, just sitting at the window with his arms crossed, just like looking at the yard, just going. And then me just like looking, going, what are you doing? He goes, it's supposed to rain tomorrow. I didn't get to mow after I got home from work today. I'm like, you just mowed yesterday.
He's just like,
what are you talking about? And he's like, yeah. He's like, well, he's like, since I wasn't able to get home in time, to mow it today, since I had to stop for your mother and grab some groceries, I'm gonna have to bag it tomorrow. And I'm like, no, you don't.
Just wait two more days.
It's a backyard the size of an in-ground pool
that nobody can see.
That no one sees ever. Like, you're fine, dude. trust me, you're fine. He's like, ruins his whole day. He's like, yeah, well, I mean, now I gotta fucking, you know.
That guy would have been a hell of a golf course superintendent.
Yeah, I mean,
there wouldn't have been a blade of grass out of place.
Not one, and there also, he would have somehow fit it in the budget to just have the shop fridge stuffed full of Bud Light, like to the brim. And he's just walking around just with those baby blue cans just ready to roll at all times, which honestly sounds like a pretty electric work environment, if I'm being completely honest. Like, Don Augenbaugh being your boss, and you can just drink, you can pound Bud Lights whenever you please. Sign me up.
I would sign up right now.
Yeah, I'm working there for, that's my career. I'm taking over when he's done. Are you kidding me? Like, that sounds unbelievable.
Dotted line, you're signed. Let's start. I mean, it's funny you bring or mention that, though, because I remember, like, when I started my new job last year, they're like giving me a tour of the office and whatnot. And the guy's like, hey, man, I got to show you the best part. I'm like, all right, let's go. So he goes upstairs in this big meeting room, nice windows around, like overlooking kind of like the little Chicago view. And he's just like, you ready for the best part? And I'm like, of course. And he opens up this mini fridge. It's full Coors Lights, Blue Moons, a handle of Tito's. And he's like, yeah, I had a good time. And I'm like, I'm in the right place.
You know what? I did good. I did real good here, to be honest.
Have yet to have a drink though there, and I've been there for a year, but
that's actually wild. But yeah,
a lot of the COVID stuff, I mean, like Tyler and I not going to the office is big bugaboo on that. But
no, absolutely, I'm sure like once things kind of start to go back to a little bit more normal, I'm sure you'll definitely be able to have your time drinking there for sure. Some hits different about drinking at the office though.
For some reason, that first beer just it like carries like triple the alcohol content.
It's the same. It's the same thing as anytime drinking back home in Byron. I swear to God, they put like I drink out here in Arizona. It's just like, okay, I go to Byron and have four Bud Lights. I don't remember what planet. And I'm like, what? This is supposed to be worse at elevation. How did I come back down closer to sea level? And I can't, five Bud Lights in, and I'm trying to figure out what college I went to.
But it's true though. I mean, I don't know what it is about that place, but it's like you can do a nice little walkthrough from the front door to the back door. And for whatever reason, just that 30-yard walk is going to get you drunk. And I don't understand.
And I don't know what it is, but it's also something that I've seen because you've been out here now and have got a taste of the Waste Management Open now, and just like Arizona in general. What I've noticed when people come out here to visit is I usually see them like at their demise, like quickly. And it's because I think they're so excited to be out here. They overcompensate by drinking super heavy. And so I've seen so many of my friends that, you know, we're not going to the Waste Management Open at 6 a.m. and sitting out there all day in the sun, but like, we'll be hanging out by the pool for a few hours before we come back in to get ready to go out. And a lot of them don't even make it out. And so it's like you get out here and one, like the elevation, you really don't expect that to sneak up on you, but it really does. And then you get out here and you're so excited because it's like you hear about Arizona, like you're surrounded by the palm trees, you know, you're out here in the wintertime and it's 75 degrees and beautiful out. And you're just like, am I on vacation? Like, nope, you're just here for a weekend, but you're definitely not coming out to Mill right now because you have your head in a garbage can in the apartment and it's 7 p.m. So
that's kind of it's a really good point to the trip, which I didn't even think about at first. Cause I feel like my excitement level to ultimately see you and then go to the Waste Management and hang out with the other guys. It was like, even that Friday night or Friday, it's like, I feel like the emotions and the energy was so high that I never even like was able to kind of process what was even going on until it was kind of over, which sucked. But I mean, it was so much fun. I mean, that's a trip that I would recommend to anybody, even if you're a golf fan or not. Like,
even to some, I'd recommend it to, I don't really hate anybody, but someone that I even would strongly dislike, you got to go do the Waste Management. Yeah, like, even if you even if you don't know anybody and get a, you know, get an Airbnb far away and like got to spend a little bit more money when you get there, dude, going to that, especially like with your best friends that you haven't collectively had it as a group together in so long. Like, it was such a euphoric experience of us like standing in those stands on the left side of the approach, seeing the first hole in one since 2015, like all of us together, man, like, like, and now we're going to keep trying to do the same thing every year with the same group. And like,
which I think we absolutely should. And I feel like after this year and kind of the stories that we've told, like our close friends and the experiences that we've had, I mean, I like this group can even can grow this, like it can double. I mean, we can get even more people that are going to go.
Oh, absolutely.
And it, dude, it's, like the cost, I mean, that Airbnb we had, we can fit 5 more people in there without a problem.
We could fit 10 more people in there. He's
that,
like,
yeah, that too.
That place was disgusting. How, like, even like if we got to bunk it, like double bunk it with people, like more than welcome. So I hope we can double the numbers next year. And then now we know, because like I was saying in other episodes, dude, like, That the best spot to be is that spot in that far back right corner, which I have to be back there at some point in my life. I gotta be.
You're talking like at the waist?
Yeah. That back right corner is just electric.
Is we had, and I don't know if people knew this beforehand or if it was just kind of luck of the draw since it was the first entrance that you walk by when you get in.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it was, knowing what we know now, it's like that whole day you got the sun gear back, you're going to miss that 3-hour window of just staring right into it. Like,
yeah.
You need to go fill out like forms to get emails from the Ford company so we can get a free pair of sunglasses. I was that desperate.
Yeah. Which is hilarious.
Like, it took me 10 minutes and I'm like, listen, like, I'm never going to respond to your email. Can I just get the sunglasses? Cause my retinas are burning out here.
Yeah.
Like, I just need something.
And you show up in the illest all orange Ricky outfit with Ford sky blue sunglasses.
That just looked like a jackass.
So funny. But dude, you think you look around there are people that wear legit costumes to that thing. You know what I mean?
There was a guy like a section down from us that was wearing a dress all day. And it was $1 bills in there.
Yeah, there were literally two guys that were wearing dresses that were a hit.
At one point in time, I looked over and saw that guy in the dress take a full beer and just dump it on himself and just look to the crowd and throw his hands up and scream. And I'm like, we're at the waste management, baby.
I mean, it would, dude, electricity. And the energy in there is crazy. But then when I remember saying this like in a different episode, I was not prepared to walk out of there in the condition that we were in, which, I mean, if we all would have gotten 2 more hours of sleep, I think we could have been there for longer, but we had all been up all day, hadn't eaten anything since breakfast, if people even ate breakfast that morning, and had just been doing nothing but drinking and blazing in the sun. And people don't realize like how different like an Arizona sun is, like how like it fries you, dude. It takes everything. It takes like everything out of you to be in the sun here in Arizona. And it was 10 degrees warmer than normal that day. Like, it's normally been sitting around 70. It was like 82 that day. And so it was hot.
We couldn't have asked for a better day. I mean, there wasn't a cloud in the sky. It was awesome. I mean, the only thing that we could have done differently was have our back at the sun that day.
Or have sunscreen, which we, for some reason, forgot. I didn't even think to bring it.
I didn't even think about it.
Didn't even think to bring it.
The last thing on my mind was protecting my skin that day. I wanted to watch somebody hit a golf shot and drink a beer.
But when we walked out of there, how many fucking people are at that event, man? It was almost overwhelming. Like, how many
people? You forget what's outside of that stadium hole. And then you walk out there back to the, like, because you had to walk past 17 and 18 to get back to the gates.
And then I think you walk past the green of 15 as well, where a lot of people sit too.
Yeah. Yeah. So right where we came out of that, our entrance was right next to 15 green. So you saw 15 green and then had to like finish the back nine to get out to the gates. But I mean, it was just a sea of people.
You see people passed out on the sides of the cart pass, like people just, and people that are just showing up at 3 PM, like, which honestly might be more ideal anyway. But now we know, like, when I walked out, man, like in the condition that I was in, just like exhausted and hammered, I was like, There are so many fucking people here, dude. It is insane how many people were there. And like, because you think it's just you guys at 16. When you're in there, you think it is just one hole of golf and nothing else matters.
Yeah,
and
like there's like 17 other holes of stuff going on.
And people are just on every single hole, like crowding. And it's just like, oh my God, this is, I keep forgetting I'm in, you know, the fifth biggest city in America.
Dude, I just, looking back on it, it's something I don't think we're ever going to see again. And if we do, great for us. But I mean, that hole in one scene was, I mean, my dad's been just on my ass about it. He's like, dude, he's like, I'm so mad at you. He called me 2 days afterwards and I like picked up. I'm like, hey, what's going on, Dad? And he's like, can you hear me yelling fuck you through the phone? And I'm like, what'd I do? And he's like, you got to see the hole in one. And he was just like, I mean, he was so happy for me, but he was just like, dude, he's like, the bucket list place of mine. And it's like, of course my son goes for the first time and sees the hole in one. And it's like, it's a scene, a visual that I'm never going to get out of my head. I mean, it looked like it was raining because of all the beer going through the air. And we're front row and I'm just getting pelted in the head by beer cans and just not giving a single fuck about it. Because
literally a scene from a movie.
You blacked out for that like 2 minute long stretch.
Like the roar of the crowd, dude, like the energy in the, like at the 16th, like everyone launching whatever they had in their fucking hand onto the hole, like everybody around us high-fiving and going crazy, just like to where, you know, like the entire city like knows that a hole in one just happened from the uproar.
Oh, you heard that in Reaver's, probably heard it in San Diego.
I mean, yeah. And then he probably, you know, probably looked up and did thought it was the pizzazz going off from his jack speed. Yeah. So that he had just made, you go, wait,
he's like, I forgot I put that on.
He's like, wait, did I even put one on there? Like, what's going on? And so,
dude, I just remember like we had to, Bass and I got up to go get a beer because we were out. So like when it went in the hole, like it took so long in that beer line, but thank God they had vendors go around. So we were still in the front row of the stadium, obviously.
Yeah,
we were two people away from you. But we're standing there and I've probably been in line for 5 minutes and I haven't made any progress yet. This guy's taking forever. And I get like just this punch on my shoulder. And I look over and Space is like, dude, look at that. And the ball's like trickling in. And then we see it fall. And that's when everything just erupts. And I didn't have a beer to throw because so I was in beer line. And I kind of like panicked and looked around and just picked up two empties off the ground next to this guy and just had to huck them just to say
that. Threw them as chuck a puck.
I got to mark my territory out there.
Chuck them into the hole, like chuck a puck from the Ice Hogs games. But
did you know they got rid of that actually?
What?
It's not currently going on right now because of COVID. It wasn't at least 2 months ago and it's a $2 beer night.
They cannot not do chuck a puck.
It's got to come. I feel like it's got to come back after this kind of slows down a bit, but no, they're not doing it at the moment, which kind of really bummed me out. I mean, that was my thing.
Reason
to go to the game.
That was the reason for me going every single, and to yell, hey, guess what? Your goalie sucks. And me being like, I said sucks last night, dude. It was sick. Going back to elementary school the next day, be like, yo, me and Carl went to the game last night with our dads. Got to say your goalie sucks.
4-2, let's go.
They won 4-2. I got to say your goalie sucks, and we're not going to tell my mom.
I have some really funny some Snapchat memories of you and I at an Ice Hogs game. It was when Reverts was doing that internship.
Yes.
Tickets on $2 beer nights.
Yes.
And we would just get moved up and just smack the glass.
Moved up to the glass, and we were smacking it like children, dude. Hammered off of $2 beer nights. My favorite night ever there.
I mean, it was an incredible night. Great advertisement, honestly.
I mean,
that specific night, I just remember, though, they had we were sitting on the far side, and they had the $2 beers were in the kegs on top of the Dental Dimensions Club.
Yeah.
So we had to walk across the entire rink to get beers, and we could only take two at a time. And they were like those little, like, 8 ounce cups.
Yeah, they're the smaller cups. Like,
yeah, where, so by the time you got back to your seat, they were gone. And it's like, all right.
Because as soon as I'm getting two, I'm slamming one and then doubling the cup up so I only have to carry one thing. And by that time, like, we get back to the seat and like I got maybe a little bit of backwash left in that second one before it's like, okay, now we got to walk all the way around the horseshoe again just to go get two more little shots of beer. And I remember walking out of there and just being hammered and then ready to tear up the town of Rockford because I'm just off the juice of they lost, which did they lose when we were there last time? They were making like a playoff push, were they not?
That was that same year. Yeah. I don't remember if they won or not, but I do remember going to playoff games that year. Cause that was like during our time and we were just always just,
we always kept saying hogs and seven. Yeah. Hogs and seven. We kept texting the group chat every day. Hogs and seven.
They would lose a home game and we're like, oh, screw it.
Hogs and seven. Seeing Tyler Rowland text hogs and seven for some reason did something to me to where it was like, let's go. I would run through a brick wall after getting.
Well, it's because every time he sends a text, it's like you just naturally think he's 10 Roman Cokes deep.
100%.
You're picturing him with one eye closed, trying to type with one finger, Hogsy Seven.
Son of a bitch. sitting somewhere in that stadium, just off the juice. Son of a bitch, Hogsy Seven.
All right, you nailed it. That's just perfect.
I mean, yeah, it's like, I can't wait to get him on for an episode for sure to see how he's going to act because I can't wait. That MF-er is might be one of the funniest people that I think I've ever met, but I don't know how long we've been going, but I think it might be a little over an hour. But if you want to tell the people where to follow you at on your socials and everything, we can go ahead and wrap it up real quick.
Oh yeah. Let me take a peek. Cause I flat out don't remember.
Oh, no worries.
Instagram name is Dennis M. Reedy. And then my Twitter is Dennis_Reedy. I will tweet out this link for people to get on and watch it and check it out. I've got a huge following, but I know there's other people that we have that can get on there and take a peek at it. And
that's been the cool thing too, with you saying that, is like a lot of people have brought up like, oh, like, I don't know who's good. Like, I know we don't have the same like followers or whatever, but like some other people might see it. That's been the coolest thing is like, cause how low budget my stuff is and how at the early stages stuff is right now. I don't know exactly like who has subscribed to me, like who is actually like listening. You know, I know some people for sure, but now that we're moving over and the crossover is just to make this as better and as good as I can possibly make it now, since you know we've created such a buzz and have some momentum. So hopefully like more people can see it, more people can keep reaching out and hopping on episodes, because it's been such a fucking blast doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, once again, thanks for having me, and I can't wait to get back on and shoot the shit again.
Yeah, dude. No, I appreciate it, man. I love you to death. Thanks for hopping on.
Awesome. Love you too, buddy. We'll see you later.
All right, you take it easy, man.